Good evening. I'm Robert Schuller, and I want to welcome you to the call. And we do this call as a part of the Robert Schuller Ministries Church with No Walls. And Don and I look forward to this time every month. We are so excited to be able to come together on the phone and read the Bible, pray, and talk together. And we're here to give you some mid-month encouragement and to help you get through whatever challenges you may be facing. Last month, it was only last month that we prayed about the massacre in the Orlando nightclub. This month, we're praying for all of those involved in police shootings across our nation. The horrible assassination of five police officers in Dallas. And if that's not enough, we're also praying for the recent events that took place in Nice. We also need to pray for peace in France and the rest of the world, because it's a really tough time that we're facing today. So let's begin this moment and this call with a time of prayer, because our nation needs prayer more today than it ever has before. So, dear Heavenly Father, you're the Father of us all, black and white, red and yellow. We are precious in your sight. And you created every single one of us, all 6 billion. You care about all of us. You continue to create. And so as we come before you in this time of prayer, even though we are miles apart, we come together through the technology of the phone system, and we're able to communicate with one another, to talk, to hear, to share, to reason, to cry. And so we ask, O Lord, that you will touch all of the families who have been touched by tragedy, regardless of where the tragedy comes from. It still hurts these families. So be with us, O Lord, as we grieve the loss of life. Also be with us, O Lord, as we struggle with how to deal with the struggles of our nation. Bring unity to our nation. Bring love to our nation. Bring peace to our nation and to the world. So hear our prayer, O Lord, as it comes from the depth of our hearts, comes from our souls, and it is brought to us through the name of Jesus to you. And so we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. And good evening. This is Donna Schuller. Again, we want to thank you for joining Robert and I on this monthly call, which is a telephone gathering held on the 15th of each and every month at 6 p.m. Pacific time. So no matter where we are in the world, we still have a call on the 15th of each month. And we've been doing this for almost 4 years. Tonight, we happen to be coming to you from Mexico, and so we're on Central Time, so it's 7 p.m. for us, but I know we have people from every different time zone. So anyway, we're out of our country tonight. We're in Mexico, and, you know, I have kind of a heavy heart because of the way Robert introduced and because of things we've been reading about. It's like every single month, something else we need specific prayer for. And we were looking at the news just before we got on the air here, and we see that it looks like there's a coup in Turkey, even though they're not calling it a coup. There is some sort of a military takeover. I'm sure it's very violent. There's people getting hurt right now. So, you know, there's so many people all across the globe that need prayer. And like Robert reminded us, God cares about each and every one of us the same. He created each and every one of us. So I think we just need to hold on to that thought as we meet together this next hour. Of course, we'll also have a time of questions and answers, so take notes if you wish, and when the time comes, what you'll do is you'll just push the star on your telephone and the number 6 when you want to ask a question of either Robert, myself, or our guest, which Robert will be introducing soon. We also want to take specific prayer requests, so during this question and answer time, if you just want a prayer, You can simply push *6 and say, please pray for blank. That's what we're here for, okay? And if you don't want to do that, I know a lot of times people are shy, you can email us and we'll give you our email addresses a little bit later. Anyway, we just really need to pray for peace. And thank you for joining us tonight.
So we truly are going to pray for peace, because prayer is the only thing that's going to heal our nation. I have, in my life, I've never seen our nation more divided on a racial issue. It reminds me when I was a child of the Martin Luther King events and what took place in those days, and I really wasn't old enough to understand and experience it, but I remember it, and I've read about it, but I haven't felt it like I feel this. And this time in our nation is a time for us to seek leadership, and we need prayer. And so in order to provide some form of leadership and some form of healing to our nation, I've come up with what I believe is a solution to heal our nation. I believe that healing can take place in our nation if we fulfill what God has called us to do. The Bible tells us that if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray, I will heal their nation and I will bring reconciliation and peace. Here's what I have written, and I'm going to read this to you because I'm calling for a weekend of prayer for national healing. Here's what I've written. Our nation is going through a race crisis like I've never seen before. The solution is not found in government or courtrooms. It is not found in the White House or on the Hill. It is found in our houses of worship. If we will pray, God will heal our land. I'm calling for a national weekend of prayer starting September 16. I'm asking people of all faiths to join together in their respective houses of worship and pray for peace, justice, protection, security, and national unity. Since the church is the most segregated institution in our nation, I'm asking them to volunteer to participate in integration on Sunday, September 18th. On that day, I want white churches to invite pastors to participate in their worship. Black churches to invite white pastors to participate in their worship. This may be a time to swap pulpits or interview each other or simply offer prayers and read scriptures, but do something that will show respect and honor for our brothers or sisters of another race in our houses of worship. When you visit each other's churches, I want you to bring 4 to 6 leaders with you to participate in a dialogue following the service. In the dialogue would be 4 to 6 leaders of each respective church. I want off-duty police officers from your community to volunteer to show up in the worship and participate in this dialogue. I want black officers to go to white churches. I want white officers to go to black churches. On this weekend, I ask that all those involved in Black Lives Matter not to gather in the streets, but to join our houses in worship. Not to make a scene, but to respectfully follow the spiritual leadership in prayer and in dialogue. To help facilitate this voluntary church integration and prayer time, I want to build a website where your church can notify the nation when and where you will be having your service and dialogue. If you need help connecting with a black or white church, your registration will be an invitation for church leaders to connect. On this site, I will have tools to assist you in your dialogue, along with prayers and litanies. May God bless our nation And may God bless your church as you help create healing and peace during this time of need. God bless you all. Robert Schuller. So that is what I believe is the cure for our nation, which is so divided but needs so much healing. The healing cannot take place with more laws. We have enough laws. The healing has to take place in our churches. It has to take place personally and spiritually. And as we recognize this fact, we will receive the healing and we will receive the unity that our nation needs. And so I'm just so grateful that all of you come to this call to join us in this time and to have this prayer. In a few moments, I'm going to introduce you to my guest. But before we do, I'm going to ask Donna if she will actually read our scripture. Our scripture comes from Ephesians 4.
Absolutely. Hear the word of our Lord. Therefore, I, a prisoner for serving the Lord, beg you to lead a life worthy of your calling, for you have been called by God. Always be humble and gentle. Be patient with each other, making allowance for each other's faults because of your love. Make every effort to keep yourselves united in the Spirit, binding yourselves together with peace. For there is one body and one Spirit, just as you have been called to one glorious hope for the future. There is one Lord, one faith, one baptism, and one God and Father, who is over all and in all and living through all. He has given each one of us special gift through the generosity of Christ. That is why the scriptures say, now, these are the gifts. These are what the gifts that Christ gave to the church, the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, and the pastors and teachers. Their responsibility is to equip God's people to do his work and build up the church, the body of Christ. This will continue until we all come to such unity in our faith and knowledge of God's Son that we will be mature in the Lord, measuring up to the full and complete standard of Christ. And we know that the Lord will continue to bless this, the reading and the meditation on his words.
So as we come today to think and to pray and to read the Bible and to discuss the current affairs that we find ourselves in, because many of us have some personal situations that we have as well, and everything that we apply to our personal health healing can be applied to our nation for national healing. So what we do when we need healing is we come to God in prayer, and we pray, and God heals. And God can heal our nation as well, because our nation is just like an individual. It is an organism and not just an organization. The organism is something that is in flux and changing constantly. And our nation is in constant flux. It is in constant change. So in order for our nation to grow healthy, we need to incorporate prayer. And so today I'm going to interview a dear friend of mine. His name is Dr. Paul Murray. We've interviewed him before. You may remember we interviewed him about his book some time ago. But today we're going to interview him because we're going to talk a little bit more about the racial tensions that we find our nation in and how we can resolve some of these issues and how we can deal with them. He is a black pastor, but more than that, he is an award-winning author and an internationally sought-after speaker and preacher. Dr. Murray, his highlights includes actually speaking in the United Nations and in Nairobi, Kenya. He has presented and spoken at global leadership conferences in North and South America, Africa, Asia, ministered and taught at national conventions and mega churches throughout Brazil, and was a special guest for the 2014 Celebrate America in the nation's capital, Constitutional Hall, on the 4th of July. Dr. Paul Murray was ordained more than 20 years ago by One Way Churches International. He is the senior pastor of Lighthouse Church. He has established 6 churches in Maryland, Pennsylvania, New Hampshire, Georgia, Nairobi, Kenya, and Oslo, Norway. In addition, he is the vice president of the Global Peace Foundation USA. Dr. Paul Murray was a Peace Corps volunteer in the country of Tunisia and is the author of Broken, Picking Up the Pieces After the Fall. He holds his doctorate degree in pastoral leadership and management from Howard University School of Divinity, a master's divinity in pastoral counseling, and a master's of arts in religion from Liberty Baptist Theological Seminary. Most importantly, Paul is one of my best friends and trusted friends, and we have traveled around the world together several times. He is a man of God. And Donna had to remind me he's a black pastor because I didn't realize that before. And I just want to welcome you, Paul, to Donna. Will you get Paul on the line there? Is he on?
I think he's on.
Okay.
I am on.
Oh,
yes,
perfect.
I am.
Welcome, Paul.
Thank you, my dear friends. It's great to be with the two of you and all those that are listening in tonight. I sincerely appreciate the dedication and the commitment that the two of you have on presenting the call every month and really focusing on the issues that are impacting us as individuals, as a nation, and really as a global community or global family of people under God. So it's very important that we address the kinds of issues that you have brought up and are bringing up.
Well. Thank you, Paul. Appreciate that. So, were you on the call, and did you have an opportunity to hear my call to prayer for churches and pastors to exchange pulpits?
Yes, sir. I certainly did. I've been on since the beginning, and I think that as a nation, as you even mentioned, we are more divisive today than I think any time since really the 60s. And as we're looking at what has taken place, and we know of Philando Castile, who was, it was streamed through Facebook by his girlfriend when he was shot by the police officer in Falcon Heights, Minnesota. We have Alton Sterling, a 37-year-old father of 5, who was killed by police officers in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. And I think what people really need to understand is really the climate in the African-American community, the lack of trust when it comes to authority in the police departments. When we see what is happening every year across the nation, and remember, this has been really heightened over the last 2 years. Since 2014, we've been seeing incidents where black people are being killed by police officers. In 2016 alone, there have been 136 African-Americans that have been killed by police officers. When we look at those numbers and we look at the proportion that that represents, it's pretty scary to see the disproportionate number of African-Americans that are killed. And as I said, you know, it goes all the way back to 2014 with the death of an 18-year-old, Michael Brown, in Ferguson, Missouri, that listed that all, that really kind of exploded onto the national scene. And reports have really come out to show that police arrest and kill black men at a far higher rate than any other groups. Consider this, that 6 out of 10 black men claim they've been treated unfairly by police because of their race. So when we think of that, and then there's also a statistic that shows that black males between the ages of 15 and 34 are 9 times more likely to be killed by police officers than any other demographic. And this group also accounted for 15% of all of 2015 deaths from law enforcement, despite making up just 2% of the U.S. population. So when you start looking at these numbers and these figures, you can see why there is such an outrage. And then the tragedy about it all is that you had individuals speaking and marching in Dallas and a peaceful protest to draw awareness
peaceful
to this
protest.
This,
exactly.
Yep. Yeah, and draw you know, drawing attention to the disparity of these kinds of issues, and that we had a lone gunman assassinate, and you even used that word, Robert, assassinate five
yeah.
peace officers and wound two citizens and two other officers. So when you look at that, that is not the way that we should be responding to such issues. And when you have organizations and groups that come together, and I'm so thankful for our Constitution and especially our First Amendment rights for that gives us the power and the authority and the right to assemble peacefully, to speak out and speak against such issues. But it must be done in a manner that we really respect the rights of all individuals. And I think that when you look at an African-American, you look at a Caucasian, you look at a Hispanic, the color of the skin may be different. Their background may be different. But when each one is shot, the blood is still the same color. When each person is killed, the parents, the spouses, the children, it doesn't matter what color you are, they all weep and grieve in the same manner. And so we're talking about humanity here. And really, how do we address this divisiveness in America now? And that's the biggest question.
Well, it is not addressed with more laws. I think the laws are there to address the issue. So it has to come from within and not without. That's why I say it isn't solved in the White House or the Hill. It has to be solved in our houses of worship, because it's our houses of worship which change the souls of the people, which is the soul of our nation. And so I believe it's the soul of our nation which needs to be healed, so that people will respect and admire one another and start living the way Jesus told us to live, in loving your neighbor. And that's what we need to do.
So how is that going to happen?
Well, and I totally agree, and that's a very good question, you know, Donna. And, you know, we're seeing a political agenda where there are certain individuals that are really adding fuel to the flame by categorizing issues based on somebody's ethnic background, their religious traditions, which is totally wrong. We are then hearing other political figures that are saying we need to tighten our gun laws, which that is not going to change anything. And I think the laws are sufficient, as you said, Robert. You know, it's none of that. It's really people that have a moral fiber and a moral backbone, and it's people, Christians, Jews, Muslims, people of faith that really just stand up and say that they know that they're to love others like God loves them. And that is a commandment in all of the major religions. And we must really be able to speak to and stand up and speak out against the hatred because of the color of skin. We have to speak and put into line those that abuse authority that is within their grips. Those issues have to be addressed, but it's not through violence. It's really through respect. If I respect you and you respect me, then these kinds of issues would not be where they are. But unfortunately, we've got to get some of our political leaders and those that are running for office to stop politicizing an issue that really we have to address from a spiritual standpoint. You know, when we pray together.
That's why I'm saying the solution has to come from our houses of worship.
Amen.
And that's why I think we need to start praying on September 16th. We should be praying consistently, but we need to have a call for prayer for a national weekend of prayer, which starts on September 16th. And the reason I call for a weekend of prayer is because I want Muslims to go to and start praying on the 16th. I want Jews to start preaching on the 17th, and I want Christians to pray on the 18th. So we need a weekend of prayer so that we incorporate all of the faiths.
Correct, and I think that's a great idea because we know that the houses of worship are opened in the mosques on Friday. We know that the synagogues are opened and gathered together on Saturday, and we know Christian churches are gathered together on Sunday. And when each group is praying, and then the critical piece that I really love that you've really introduced is bringing the diverse communities together to stand behind the sacred desks in each house of worship and to show that the unity, because a house divided will fall. But when we bind together, we can overcome every form of hatred. What made the civil rights so successful is because there was prayer in the churches first, and then there was peaceful demonstrations and people of faith standing up, and we saw blacks with whites and whites with blacks. We saw the Jewish community. We saw the Muslim community all coming together under the banner to really say we've got to stop this segregation in America. And that's, we need that renewal. We need that reawakening in America once again. What people have to realize is that America is probably at any time within its history is the most diverse group of people across the nation. When we look at the different groups. Exactly.
It is so, indeed. You know, you and I have traveled enough to know if you go to Korean, you see, all you see there is Koreans. If you go to China, all you see is Chinese. If you go to Africa, all you see are Africans. Et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. You go to the United States of America, you see Koreans, you see Chinese, you see Vietnamese, you see African-Americans, you see Mexicans, you see everything.
As many nations as there are.
As many nations as there are. And they all exist here. And the fact that we can coexist as well as we have is really an astonishing accomplishment. And but that's not to say we don't have a lot of room to go. We need to resolve this conflict that we have today, and it can only be done if we come together in prayer. You know what? I'm gonna open up the lines and get some feedback from people, and if you have a comment to make, if you would like to participate in this conversation, if you have a question for Paul Murray or myself or Donna, all you have to do is press the start button and six. Press star six, and you'll be put in the queue where you can, and you'll be invited to ask any questions and to participate in this conversation, because we'd love to hear from you, because we want to continue to pray, and we want to make a difference in our society and in our nation. So,
Mom's on here.
Yeah, Mom's on. Hello, Mom. Hi, Lynell.
Hi, Mom.
Hello there. How are you? I am going to ask this question, and I hope it doesn't upset you. But the question is to Dr. Murray. I just wanted to say I respect and appreciate your opinions, Dr. Murray. However, I feel that we as a nation should look at the whole picture. It appears to me that the press focus on every black male that has been killed. There are many incidents about blacks killing whites that are never publicized and focused on. I just wonder why Black Lives Matter is more important than white and other lives matter also. So this is Donna's mom, and I appreciate you listening to me, and I hope I haven't offended you. That was not my intention. But I just read today about three young black men killing a white retired veteran, beating him to death. You don't hear anything about that in the press. So thank you for letting me ask the question, but I just want to know, don't you think all lives matter, not just black lives matter?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. And thank you. And it's great. I've met you personally in the past, and I am not offended by your question. It's a very legitimate question. But I think the aspect that we have to look at here is that we're talking about civil authority and what civil authority in their role and their responsibility to protect all people. And then when we don't see that happening, that's what has brought forth the rise of this movement called Black Lives Matter. I personally believe that every life matters, and as a Christian, that's exactly what must take place.
Yeah.
Correct. However,
that's basically what we've been saying, right?
Exactly. What the demonstrations and everything that are going on is that when you look at the experiences of a black person traveling down the road and they are disproportionately pulled over, harassed, antagonized by police just because of the color of their skin, that is when there comes a boiling point that we're seeing across the nation.
Exactly.
I have personally experienced that myself, being pulled over and being treated in a manner that is really very disrespectful, all because of the color of my skin. I've seen that for myself. I've seen it with my relatives. That I've been in the car with others when we've been pulled over and seen how we've been treated. So when you look at all of these issues, it's addressing that civil authority and saying, why is it that we are seeing such a disproportionate number of individuals that are black being attacked by the police department, being killed, being incarcerated, arrested? You know, we have a U.S. congressman who spoke before the floor, and as a black congressman, he stated that he has even experienced this walking into the U.S. Capitol. They each have a pin that they wear on their lapel that identifies who they are. And one day he was walking in, and one of the Capitol police stopped him and said, "The pin I know, but you I don't know. So show me your identification," and was really rude about it. And you don't see this happening with white congressmen, but with a black congressman. And he spoke to that issue. So when we look at these particular incidences, that's what brings people to the boiling point. And let me just add this, Robin, I'll let you jump in, that when you bring up the other issues of these black young men killing a veteran, that's terrible. And when we talk about black on black crime, there's a large percentage there. So if you want to step back and look at the whole picture, we have a problem across the nation with people.
Absolutely.
That if they would start serving God and understand their role in a civil society, we wouldn't have all of these issues.
Exactly. We have another caller. Thank you for hanging in there.
And thank you, Mom.
Yes,
thank you,
Linnell,
for your
contributions. We really appreciate that. And hello.
Hey, Robert, Jack Craig calling from Indiana. Just a second, I'll be off speaker here.
Well, hello, Jack. How are you doing?
I'm doing pretty good. I have you on speakerphone. I could hear better when I have a speaker, but I know I get feedback when I talk and have a speakerphone on.
Okay.
It's interesting here because I'm sitting here in Indiana and I'm on my back porch. It's a very peaceful evening. It's very, sun's just going down, and I realize I'm pretty comfortable at age 68. And I like to keep my comfort. So if I strive to keep my comfort, I'd kind of tune out the world and stop paying attention. And then I guess at my age, I start looking back at some of the things that have happened in my life that form my opinions. And I can be very selective and picking out some good things and all this, but then I go back and look at my background, and I realize, well, it's kind of unusual. And my dad was working for General Motors, and he was very proactive even prior to the Civil Rights Act of equal opportunity employment. And it was just a calling of his, you know, to be very proactive. And so back in the early 60s, he was doing some things that were kind of out of the ordinary or expected by going out and actually recruiting people of color to take on jobs that they were qualified for, and then also instituting training programs. And so I had the privilege when I was in college of meeting Whitney Young, who was one of the prominent civil rights leaders of the country at that time. And so I had my background. Well, what happened here about 14 years ago, I was on the safety board of the town of Anderson. That's a town of about 60,000 people. And the safety board has a civilian overseer sight of the police department and the fire department. Well, I'm working in a GM plant up there, and the head of the NAACP and another member of the Madison County Council approached me and said, "Hey, would you go look at the video?" And I said, "Well, sure." He says, "Well, we've got a person down here who we think has been a victim of racial profiling by the police department." And so I went to the police department. They did indeed have the video, and I was able to see it. And I looked at it and realized that two police officers had set up a guy so that he would create a traffic violation. And then when he pulled into the parking lot of the Taco Bell, they started to beat him up. And the only thing they said was he was making threatening gestures, and when he got out of the car, he threw his hands up in the air and said, "Well, what did I do?" With an exasperation, "Well, what did I do?" And they considered that as a threatening gesture, and wrestled him to the ground, and beat him up, and handcuffed him, took him to jail.
Yeah,
and all he was doing was wanting to get lunch.
A long time is what you're saying. Is that right, Jack?
Yeah. And so what happened is there was a change in administrations. I lost my safety board job, and a police officer was elected mayor of the city. So I look at that, and I said, "Well, yeah, this is a real serious issue, and it's going on." And people want to say, "Well, that doesn't concern me," but it does. So
yeah.
I'm having trouble hearing you, Robert.
You know what? You're breaking in and out as well. So I want to thank you for calling and sharing that with us, Jack, because, you know, this has been going on for a long time. If we look back at the history of blacks in America, we obviously, you know, most people, I would say, should know, if you don't know, that most of the blacks came to America not voluntarily like most whites did, but they came on slave ships. And they've been held as slaves for many years until, of course, we had the Civil War, and they were given freedom. But even though they were given freedom, they weren't given freedom. Don and I just watched this a movie recently that I thought was done really well. It was called The Free State of Jones. Are you familiar with that, Paul?
Yes, I am.
And it gave a new history of what took place in the South after the Civil War, and between the Civil War and the Civil Rights Movement and up to today, it's been the history of black freedom has been a long, hard struggle, and it isn't complete yet. And so here, 170 years later, we're still struggling with how to resolve and create equal rights. And so, do you have any comments from what Jack said, or from my comments to Jack's comments?
Yeah, when I think of, you know, all of this, and it's true, there are issues that we really have to look at and address. And on Tuesday of this past week, I was invited to be on a conference call with the White House, just addressing, speaking to these issues and what is happening. You know, with social media today, everything is out there right away. And it's amazing what you can see. Somebody just posted on Facebook earlier this evening body cam from a police officer of arresting a black man who was not the individual they were supposed to arrest, but they went ahead and tased him as he kept on requesting, let me see the warrant. We also have a very a well-known celebrity that was attacked in New York City by police because he was they thought he was someone else, and they knocked him down on the ground and arrested him without even handling it in an approachable manner. Having said all that, I have served as a police chaplain, and I understand the other side, too. As a police officer, you are trained to protect your citizens. When we look at the situation that took place in Dallas, there are people that spoke afterwards that there was a woman who said that she was on the ground with her daughter or son, and the police officers were laying on top of her and around her to protect her from the shooting. There are police officers that every day give their lives for us to protect us, to make sure that we make it home safe. So when you start generalizing and saying all police officers are bad, that's not the case. It's a very it's a very small group, but when you look at every segment of society, when you look at every segment of society, there are always a few bad apples. But as Donna's mother, you know, spoke earlier, you know, why is it that media capitalizes on certain issues but not the others? So we as African Americans need to understand that police officers are easily attacked. And so they come with a stance that they're going to protect themselves as they protect others. So when they approach a vehicle or approach other people, they have to approach with caution. And they have to. And when people don't respond in a manner, then they're going to respond with force. And because if they don't at times, they're the ones that are going to get hurt. So we have to understand the position that officers are in. And saying that and looking at the other side, you know, both sides of it, there has to come a common place where both sides can understand what the other is dealing with. And then out of respect, be a, you know, respond to authority and an authority is saying, I'm going to respect you as an individual as long as you stay within the confines of the law. And that's the piece. And the only way that's going to come about, Robert and Donna, is when we as people of faith pray and really encourage our young people, encourage our brothers and sisters to be respectful one to another, regardless of the color of their skin, regardless of the position that they hold in the community, then we'll see a turning of the tide. We can't make it a black against white issue, because once we do that, we are now separating and segregating all over again. When we have a candidate that says every Muslim that comes into the country, we have to do this, this, and this, now we're segregating, and America was not created for segregation.
No, we have been a nation that has been open for the tired and the distraught for a long time, giving opportunity here. But we have another call on the line. Hello.
Yes, hello. Hi, Paul. Yes, thank you so much for being on, and Robert and Donna for their call, because it's so informative. And I really appreciated Donna's mom's her question, and also what Jack had to say. I'm kind of that same age group, I think. I don't know about Jack, but I think I'm kind of older. And I know I grew up in a time where, believe it or not, there were water fountains marked black and white. And I didn't grow up in a prejudiced home, but as I grew older, I wondered why my mom and dad didn't say, hey, it didn't matter. But on another note, I will say that I have two nephews that are police officers. One of them, that's all he ever wanted to do, in DeKalb County, Georgia. And he was 3 months on the force. He had just taken off his vest and had his radio with him, went to a Waffle House about 2 o'clock in the morning to get something to eat when he was getting off shift. And three gentlemen came in, black gentlemen, my sister gets very upset when I call them gentlemen, but they came in, and my nephew's radio went off, and they went over. This happened 15 years ago, and said, well, we've got us a cop, and we're going to kill him. And he was shot. He lived through it. And
wow.
I have to tell you that I never thought about them being black. I never thought about that. And it just, I don't understand. It seems like we have gone backwards in this country, that now maybe because everybody has a cell phone and everything can be, you know, put out there. I don't understand it. I thought we had come so far. And then even with the riots, and Paul, I'd like you to maybe address this. When they do the rioting after the shooting, they have checked, and a lot, actually a majority of the people that come in to riot and loot, the black youth or whatever, are not even from that area. So is there some kind of inciting going on? Like, well, here, we'll pay you, and you go in there and you loot, which is not fair to the blacks, the good blacks. You know, we're Americans. I hate even calling them blacks and white.
Yeah,
I know there's prejudice out there. There always has been. There always will be. But can you answer that? Is that not a true statement that they are brought in from other areas and they do things that the peaceful people that are trying, like yourself and like the people that were doing the march when the police officers were killed? Anyway, I'm sorry.
Well, sure. No, that's great.
Thank you, Randy, for your comment.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. And I'm sorry to hear about your nephew as a police officer. And I, as I said, I've been blessed to serve as a volunteer police chaplain, riding along with police officers in our county and working with them, being a part of their training, being trained myself by them. And it's probably one of the greatest honors that I've had to be with these men and women in blue who are out there every day sacrificing their lives and sacrificing time away from their families so they can protect us. So it's very important that we really understand what that type of commitment is. When we look all the way back to the first riots that took place in Ferguson, Missouri 2 years ago, it was definitely brought out that there were people that were coming from outside into these areas of demonstration to help incite or to create riots. There's no reporting that I've seen that shows that these individuals were paid. I think what you have is you have small groups of individuals that want to take advantage of a situation to personally benefit themselves or to create and heighten this fear across the nation. Here in Baltimore City, when we had the riots that took place last year, my wife works in a law firm in downtown Baltimore, and literally offices and stores were closed early, and my wife wasn't even allowed to go into the city for several days because of the rioting. One of the things that the police commissioner did, which I thought was excellent, is that he said, you know, the statute of limitation is 2 years to file an arrest. He said, so once we've got everything in order and calmed down, we've got all the videos, and we're going after every one of these individuals, and we've got 2 years to get them and charge them with the crime.
Good.
And they have actively done that. And some of these individuals are folks that lived in other parts of the city that wanted to capitalize on this situation to benefit themselves. So I don't believe there is an organized effort by some group to create this chaos. I just believe that in every society where there's good, there's bad, and there are people that will take advantage of those situations. And that's a sad testimony to some of our people that are, quote, Americans. We see it doesn't matter the color of their skin because we see it in all groups, and that's one of the sad parts. But what we've also seen is that we have seen in these kinds of peaceful marches, when groups have come in to try to disrupt it, we have seen a line form around those individuals that are trying to create disruption. And people will form a circle around them and call the police and say, these are the agitators, to keep them away from the peaceful demonstrations. So there have been people that are actively trying to make sure that these kinds of things don't happen. And the wake-up call is the tragedy, the assassination of these police officers in Dallas, Texas. They're one life for another never counts, and killing innocent officers that had nothing to do with Baton Rouge, Louisiana, that had nothing to do with Ferguson, Missouri, none of these people with Minnesota, none of these police officers had anything to do with that. And yet their lives were taken because of it by one individual that did not have the right to do that, but did it.
Well, Paul, I want to thank you for your time tonight and for all your comments, and we appreciate that very much. We want to thank everyone who called in and thank you for your comments. And again, I believe the healing of our nation will take place in our houses of worship and in our churches. And so we're going to continue. I'm going to continue to pursue this. And it just so happens the weekend of prayer starts on September 16th, and that happens to be my father's birthday. If he was still living, it would be that weekend of prayer will start on his birthday, and I think that's a little testament to him as a man of peace and prayer. So,
absolutely.
Again, Paul, thank you for being with us.
We have
thank you so much, Robert and Donna. I appreciate this opportunity.
Great discussion. And for those of you that are used to joining us, we have a couple of things we'd like to mention before we say goodbye until next month. We do collect an offering. We since we're a global church with no walls, we do this digitally. We have many people to thank for their continued gifts to our ministry. Many, many of you help us do what we've been called by God to do. So if you'd like to make a donation, please go to robertschulerministries.org. You can click on the donate button, which can be found on the right side of the homepage. Or if you'd like to use traditional mail, you can mail your donations to Robert Schuler Ministries, 919 Bayside, like sitting at the dock of the bay, Bayside Drive, Unit E, as in Edward, the number 3E3, Newport Beach, California, 92660. Your donations, of course, are tax deductible. And if you have any questions for us at all about, what we do with your donations, of course, you'll get a receipt at the end of the year. But it's you can write Robert at robertschulerministries.org or Donna at robertschulerministries.org. And we also take prayer requests that way, too. So please remember that. That's the most important thing.
Yeah, we believe
about
in the power of prayer, that's for sure.
Absolutely, it changes lives.
Yeah, so unfortunately we're running out of time, but we just want to remind you that next month, August 15th, at what time? 6 p.m. Pacific time, and if it's the 15th of the month, what time is it? It's time for the call. Tell anyone you know if they need some mid-month encouragement, if they want to learn more about themselves, others, or God, to join us, because we have an endless amount of people who can join our call. And so we always pray together and we discuss great subjects that are relevant for our day from a Christian perspective.
Both Robert and I want to thank you for participating in the call. We want to remind you we meet together this way. When, Robert?
let me see. The 15th?
That's it.
6 p.m. Pacific?
Every month. Please continue to email us your ideas or questions. Remember, I will post this call on our podcast. I'll try to get it tonight, depending on the speed of our internet. It'll be up there by tomorrow at robertschulerministries.podomatic.com, or you can find a link on the website. But we have a podcast, which will be up there forever and ever, and we have, seriously, thousands of people listening to this podcast now, which is awesome. But let me post it, and you can go also and subscribe to our newsletter by going on the ministry website at robertshulerministries.org, and there's a little button on, there's a little blank spot on the right that you just put your email in there if you would like to get our newsletter, which only goes out quarterly, so it's not like we're going to be putting all kinds of mail in your inbox every day or even every week or every month. It just goes out occasionally. Reminders of all that can be found at robertshulerministries.org or by emailing us. So until next time,
God is blessing you always and through all things.
Forever.
And ever.
Yep.
Amen.
Okay.
God bless you.
Amen.
Bye-bye.